It's a big world out there, becoming more and more technically oriented every day. We all need help understanding and knowing how to work with ever-evolving computers, cell phones, and electronic devices. Stay tuned and you'll find out from local experts as KAZM presents Tech Talk. And now, Tech Talk.
Welcome into the program. Tom Tabak here, along with Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography.
Yo, good morning, Tom.
How you doing?
I'm doing somewhere beyond I'm doing really good.
Okay.
I'm running just a hair short of that fabulous thing.
You're not
going
to coin a word today?
No. Okay.
What do you want to talk about today?
Oh, let's talk about art, because that's where most of my energies are going now. Mm-hmm. We can talk a little bit about some commercial photography and cameras.
Okay, so art, commercial photography, cameras, and just Bob Coates in general.
Go, let's go, baby.
And whatever else I can think of.
Yeah.
How's that?
You're on.
All right. Quick break, folks. We'll come back and get into it with Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography. So stay tuned. Welcome back. Tom Tabak here again with Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography. And let's start with the art. That's the first thing you said when I asked you what you wanted to talk about today. So your photographic art, you're a lens-based artist.
Lens-based artist, indeed. Look, it's even on my shirt now.
Oh, no.
New logos, branding. See, and
I love it.
Yeah, it's actually quite interesting because it generates conversation for people to find out exactly what I do. Because when you say, for the longest time, when you said, I do extra manipulation in Photoshop to my images to create artwork, and people go, oh, you're just, pushing a button for a filter or something.
Right.
And the work that I do is so far beyond that in building depth and dimension and adding shadows and highlights and basically doing what a painter does in bringing your attention to whatever part of the scene that he or she wants.
Right. Now, having said that, time-wise, how much work do you typically put into an image?
Depends on the actual subject matter, but it could be anywhere from 2 hours to days, sometimes weeks. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll work on something for a while and it's like, I can't quite get it. I'll set it aside and then go back and revisit it and go, oh, I got it now. I know,
gotcha.
The kind of percolates inside your head.
Yeah. Is this becoming more and more a part now? You're a member of a lot of different associations, and you go to a lot of conventions, and you do a lot of speaking and instructing and everything. Is this becoming a huge part of the photographic world?
Sure. Yeah. What's happening is there are, when digital first came out, photographers were like, oh, I'm a film photographer, I'll never shoot digital. And
right.
I was one of those. I put my hand up and go, I was never going to go digital because that would be cheating.
You were a camera snob.
Or film snob. Anyway, and as I realized that the camera only sees what it can see, and you can increase the vision that's there and the vision that you have inside your head to share with people, more of an art idea. I mean, people all the time used to say, oh, well, a photo doesn't lie, because they would take pictures and they would be presented in the news and this is what it is.
Right.
Well, even just making a choice of a lens changes the story.
Yeah.
What do you leave in? What do you leave out? Do you walk closer? Do you show more of the scene? Do you angle your view so that you don't see the telephone wires and just the mountains?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you show everything there? All of those decisions are basically artistic decisions and have been done, along the way for years and years and years. Just nobody recognized it as such until digital came along and people were saying, oh, well, you're making changes. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But I also differentiate between my straight work, which is pretty much camera-based. I still use digital to enhance and get the most out of the file that's there.
Mm-hmm.
But in the art, I differentiate between that, which I would call straight photography, essentially, and the artwork that I do, which involves the textures and the blending and using painting styles and starting to manipulate the pixels a lot more.
It's an interesting thought. The people saying that you're changing the image. If you're using Photoshop as an example, but that image could have been changed by your own description earlier. The angle at which you chose to take the picture, or the focus that you chose to take the picture with. So you can make those changes even without editing after the fact. And if you say I don't want to do that because it's changing the image. Well, you're not realizing, first of all, that you have that ability in the first place, and you're ignoring technology. You're ignoring the mental part of the game that can evolve.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, back in the day, I want to take you back to my film days, we would just choose what kind of paper to print on, which would add contrast or take away contrast. We would dodge and burn to, you know, if something was too bright, we'd add more light to it so it got darker, and vice versa. If it, you know, was too dark, we'd hold it out. So, you know, sometimes it would take, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 tries to pull a good print in a black and white darkroom.
Off the same negative.
Off the same negative. Yeah, you're working on it and go, oh, I missed doing that part over there. Start again. But you'd start marking up your images and say, ooh, we need 30% more light in this area here. We need minus 20% there.
Yeah.
Need a little burn around the outside to keep the eye in. So it was all different ways to manipulate the image in the first place.
When cameras did start to go digital, was there ever a time when the image that you captured with a digital camera was not as good as the old-fashioned?
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, when the digital cameras first came out, they were, let's see, there was either a Kodak camera was a 1-megapixel camera, maybe a 3-megapixel camera, and they were $50,000.
Whoa.
So the people who got it early, I call those the bleeding edge people.
Yeah.
So they're the ones that, you know, when digital first came out, that was the price of admission. And then as more people got in and as more manufacturers got in, then the price started coming down to, you know, a more reasonable rate for people, until now we have cameras that would do way better than that $50,000 camera for a couple hundred bucks.
Right.
So it's, it's all part and parcel of the growth. You've heard of what's the Moore's Law, I think it is, where technology is known to double upon itself every year.
Right.
Or something like that.
Right.
Well, now the technology is doubling upon itself every 3 months or every 6 months.
Right.
And now think about double that, and that's why we have, you know, so many new tools, and then there's software to keep up with that too.
So, at what point did we get to where the digital camera was doing just as good a job?
Probably 5 years ago.
Is that right?
And again, depending on what digital camera you bought, so there were some. Again, there was some high end cameras that had much bigger digital backs, the Phase One cameras, and there was a couple others that were more of a medium format.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a much bigger surface area, so you could fit more pixels with more information in there. You know, so maybe 10 years ago for those, but at a rate that most professional or advanced amateur people could be, I would say it was in 5 years. And again, it's doubled upon itself a few times since then.
Yeah.
And the latest camera that I have now, within there, they have some things called pixel shift. And basically, it's a 20-megapixel camera, and this is the Lumix G9 I'm speaking of, and it will make 8 images, shifting the focus point 0.5 pixel wide. And then through the interpolation of that information, it can make an 80 megabyte file. So you can have a huge file with lots of information from a very small chip now.
Okay, so is it fair to say then that you can capture more or a better raw image now than you ever could with the old-fashioned cameras?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely, because one of the main things to me is what I call HDR, or high dynamic range. And basically all that is you will change the exposure on each one, so you'll have maybe a stop underexposed, 2 stops underexposed, 1 the proper according to the camera exposure, and then 2 over. And then you blend those all together. So from the overexposed one, you may take the shadow detail. And from the underexposed one, you may take the highlight detail. And once you blend them all together, you can see more of the way your eye sees.
Does this now make the photographic art part of what you do more competitive? Because it's I don't know, is it becoming more the equipment than it is the person behind the camera?
No, yes and no. One... the cameras are getting so good. You can get a decent exposure almost anyway. Matter of fact, you can even set the camera doing an automatic HDR. Mm-hmm. As you push the button one time, it will take three exposures and blend them together in the camera for you.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's people can get better stuff, but you still need to see the light. You still need to know composition.
Yeah.
You still need to know the art.
All right. Quick break. Let's come back and talk some more to Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Tom Tabak here again with Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography. And just a real quick ending to that last segment. Where are we right now, and where are we heading maybe as you see it in photographic art?
The gates are open. I've basically been studying art and color theory and composition for the last 5 years as opposed to photography, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to see the kind of artwork that I'm doing, you can find it at the Gallery of Modern Masters, which is over in the Hillside Sedona thing down on the lower level next to Jim Ratliff's gallery. I call that gallery row right there, and somehow they let me in. I kind of snuck in the side door there. I'm really, really excited about that. The manager of the gallery really enjoys my work and has been instrumental in getting me to create different ways of presenting my work, too. So I now have some scrolls that are 70 inches long by 24 inches high,
mm-hmm.
That are on a bar, and as opposed to being framed, it's more like the Japanese aesthetic from the scroll work.
Interesting.
And then I have work over at the Sedona Artist Market,
mm-hmm.
which is in the Harkin Center on 89A.
Okay, is it different work, or can you see...
Different work. The work that's in the Gallery of Modern Masters, they represent certain pieces of mine, mm-hmm. and they're the only place you can get them.
Oh, okay.
You can't even get them from me.
Okay. Okay. That exclusive.
Yes, because it protects them. For, mm-hmm. You know, they're using space to promote me and, you know, using gallery wall space and stuff. So I want to protect their interest as much as mine, because you would come to me and say, well, Bob, if I buy it direct from you and you don't have to pay the gallery commission, can you get it cheaper?
Right.
The answer is no.
Okay. So from a value standpoint, then, do you make a choice with some images that you're going to make one of a kind, or you only make maybe 100 prints?
Most of my stuff will never go past 25.
Okay.
I can't imagine it. And the only difference would be was if I was to license something to, say, Walmart or Target or something, and then that wouldn't be – I wouldn't make that available as – a art piece of my own that would be licensed separately. So, mm-hmm. you know, my work isn't just going to, you know, you won't buy a piece and then find it splashed everywhere for everybody else.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's talk commercial photography then.
Yeah. It's been quite interesting. You know, we were talking about the fact that cameras can do some better work and give you some exposures that are, you know, that are okay. But as you look through a magazine or if you look through a website, you only have one chance to make that first impression.
Yeah.
And if you have really good lighting with a really, you know, well-composed subject, you can grab some attention. So when somebody's kind of cruising through the magazine or the newspaper, or, you know, especially talking about newspaper, if you just take your photo and then send it to the newspaper and they kind of process it out, the images often look very flat because all they're going to do is push a button that says, okay, make it grayscale.
Right.
And what I do is I'm going to make the contrast proper. I'm going to sharpen it so that when it prints in the newspaper, it was going to look sharper and neater and cleaner.
Mm.
So it's just going to jump off the page a lot more. And to me, that's very important, and that's something that gets missed by a lot of folks.
Interesting. And it's so important, too, when it comes to commercial photography, that image, it's portraying something other than the image itself.
I mean,
there's a reputation that goes along with that, or the connotation that, if it's something that you did commercially for a business, you want to make that product look as good as possible because you want them to get the good feedback on that, that image as people see it. And like you said, you only get that, impression, that first impression. One time.
And that also extends to making headshots for, you know, business people.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people will stay with a headshot that's been in, you know, people will get your card, see your picture on there, and look at you and go, well, who's this a picture of? Where's your younger brother or whatever?
Yeah.
And it's really important to be able to present yourself in a good way, a clean way, a neat way, that really represents who you are. So, you know, portrait, you know, headshots should be done at least every 2 years, if not every year. And most people will just kind of do a selfie and throw that up there. And it shows when you look at the difference between, you know, people who have had professional portraits done and those who, you know, do the selfies or cut themselves out of another photo because, oh, I like my expression there. You know, it's really amazing that people won't do that little bit of extra investment. And when you think about it, if you're having an image for 2 years and you paid $150 for it, it's pennies a day to have the really good image versus the other.
I so know what you're talking about. When I was in Hollywood, and all the actors, of course, had headshots that you know, they got circulated to the casting directors before he ever got called in for an audition or anything. So they're working based off of that photo image. And there were certain photographers, and not that many. I'm going to say maybe a couple of handful in all of Hollywood, in all of the Los Angeles area, that had a reputation for making the headshots look really good. And they got a lot of work. Then there were the actors who went cheap and didn't get called in a lot.
They weren't working so much.
But let me ask you this. In terms of your own feelings about the image you're capturing, is it possible, and then I'm guessing so, do you draw the line at some point where you think you're making an image maybe look a little too good? Maybe so much better than it really does to the naked eye.
I make you look the best you.
Okay.
So with lighting and with a little bit of retouching, you know, everybody has bags. Everybody knows we have bags and stuff. We don't have to accentuate them by having the light come down from the top and make those shadows really deep underneath. If we light from the side and then reflect a little bit of light in, do a little bit of light retouching, you still look like you, but not the plasticized. You know, some people are like, well, keep going. Keep going if you can do that. You know,
right.
I'm not going to make Barbies.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a plastic doll face, you're not representing who you are.
Yeah.
And so I find that what I think is the fine line to make you look your best and make you feel like you're looking your best versus making you look like, you know, somebody who's 20 years younger than you.
And the subject may not realize it or not, but you're absolutely right. You know, when somebody does see that picture and they see them, they want the correlation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I've even, you know, I've made the mistake of, you know, printing 3,000 cards one time.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, I'll keep using these. And finally I handed a card to somebody. She says, wow, you've lost a lot of weight and you're older now, aren't you? And I was like, okay, time to change those cards.
I
you know, have to take my own advice.
And that's because it finally came out. You're not counting the people that said, you know, didn't say it. They thought it and didn't say it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've often wondered how many people, I don't know, maybe in this world of technology now, people just get it, you know, but I've often wondered how many people walk into a fast food restaurant and say, you know, where's the hamburger that's on that picture right there? You know, because I know that's not what you're bringing me.
True enough.
All right. Let's talk cameras a little bit.
Okay. As you know, I'm a Panasonic Lumix ambassador. They changed my name from the name of what I am from a luminary to ambassador because they went worldwide. And some of the different countries didn't have a word for luminary.
Oh, no kidding.
It didn't ring and people wouldn't understand.
Or it meant something foul.
Could be. Yeah. I don't know what the reason was. All I know is Japan said, no, you are no longer luminary. You are ambassador. And basically that means I travel around the country teaching photography, you know, with Panasonic as my sponsor.
Yeah.
The cool part is I get to teach the photography. I get to teach the business, the marketing, and the artwork. As exactly as it is. And oh, by the way, here's the kind of camera that I use. I'll be happy to talk to you about them later.
Yeah.
And because I wouldn't be a person who's, you know, we'll pay you to go talk and just talk up our cameras.
Yeah.
Not what I'm up for.
Well, they know what you represent when they come.
Right.
I mean, it's promoted.
Right.
Yeah.
But definitely, you know, there are actually rules in the PPA and the PPA associations that say, your message from the manufacturer can be no more than, you know, 2 minutes.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And then whatever time after or before, that's fine. But during your programs, you have to be presenting education.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take our last break. When we come back, folks, we'll make sure you get your contact information for Bob Coates and Bob Coates Photography. So stay tuned for that. Welcome back. Tom Tabak here as we wrap things up. Just flat running out of time. Bob, how do folks get a hold of you?
BCphotography.com for the commercial. Successful-photographer.com for if you're interested in the kind of art that I do and photography in general and the camera stuff. And then 284-0200 if you want to give me a call.
All right. Bob Coates Photography, folks. Catch you again next time.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to KAZM's Tech Talk, a discussion program Wednesdays following the noon news with local experts. Tune in again next week for updated information about computers, cell phones, electronic devices, everything technical. That's why we call it Tech Talk, right here on 780 KAZM.